Bienvenue dans le podcast Focus Immo Pacifique, le podcast qui va à la rencontre des investisseurs et professionnels de l'immobilier en Nouvelle-Calédonie. Vous souhaitez commencer à investir dans l'immobilier ou trouver de nouvelles sources d'inspiration pour vos projets? Ce podcast est fait pour vous.
Aujourd'hui, j'ai le plaisir de recevoir Zev, qui est actuellement de passage en Nouvelle-Calédonie. Il a travaillé 20 ans à Hollywood en tant que décorateur pour la télé et le cinéma. Il entend parler d'investissement immobilier dans son cercle d'amis qui l'amène à suivre une formation expliquant comment bien investir aux États-Unis. Ça remonte à plus de 20 ans maintenant. En peu de temps, en fait, il a réalisé son premier rachat, premier investissement immobilier avec 3 maisons à Phoenix, en Arizona. Et donc, Zev nous explique dans cet épisode du podcast tous les aspects de l'investissement aux États-Unis, les crédits bancaires, la force des groupes d'investisseurs qui est très présente là-bas, les avantages et les inconvénients de certains États, en passant par la gestion locative, la fiscalité, également les avantages de certains États par rapport à d'autres pour les propriétaires. Dans l'immobilier, vous le savez, il y a des hauts et il y a des bas. Et pour l'illustrer, on a un très bon retour d'expérience de Zev qui nous raconte comment il a géré justement la crise des subprimes de 2006-2007 qui a fait passer en fait certaines de ses maisons d'une valeur de 300 000 $ à 100 000 $ en quelques semaines. Donc lui, à ce moment-là, il avait déjà investi et effectivement, il va nous raconter comment ça s'est passé. En 2004, à l'âge de 47 ans, il décide d'arrêter de travailler pour voyager et vivre de ses investissements immobiliers. Et il quitte alors sa belle maison d'Hollywood et ses 250 t-shirts, comme il nous raconte, pour n'en mettre que 4 dans ses bagages. Et il peut enfin vivre la vie de ses rêves, en fait, la vie avec un style minimaliste qui lui convient beaucoup mieux, en voyageant grâce aux revenus de ses investissements immobiliers qu'il a fait au cours des 20 premières années de sa vie active. Alors c'est une première dans ce podcast, l'interview a été faite en anglais avec une traduction des réponses de Zev en français pour que tout le monde puisse s'y retrouver. Par contre, je m'excuse par avance de la mauvaise qualité du son car régulièrement au cours de l'interview, on a eu de la saturation du micro due à la présence de vent et malheureusement, je n'avais pas fait les bons réglages en fait pour éviter cela. Cela n'enlève en rien la qualité de l'enseignement de Zev sur ses plus de 20 années d'expérience d'investissement immobilier aux États-Unis. Je laisse maintenant place à l'interview de Zev Tankus.
So Zev Tankus, yes. I'm very happy to have you on the show. That's first time I'm doing it in English. Zev Tankus, merci beaucoup d'avoir accepté cette invitation sur le podcast Focus Immo Pacifique. Donc Zev lui parle anglais. Donc on va poser en fait beaucoup de questions en anglais, parler en anglais également, traduire ses réponses en français pour que les auditeurs qui ne parlent pas anglais puissent comprendre également. So you are a world traveler. You travel a lot around the world, and you did a real estate investment several years ago, and you use this investment power to live. Correct. And that's very very interesting to speak about that, because auditors are very interesting to this kind of life, this way of life, using passive. Passive business through real estate, and can you introduce yourself?
Absolutely.
And explain us what is your career, your journey through your real estate.
I had a career in Hollywood as a production designer or as a prop master for 20 years. I was freelancing, working for different companies, doing mostly television commercials.
Okay.
Some movies too, but mostly commercials. And all this time, I really like what I did. I have no complaints about Hollywood, no complaints about what I did. I like it. But in the back of my mind, there was always a very important point for me that I'd like to get to a point where if I don't want to work, I don't work.
Okay.
So, as long as I enjoy it and can, I want to do it. But I went really early in my life. I decided that I would like to be able to leave it if I don't want to. Stop doing anything I don't have to when I don't have to. the film business at the time. It was, I love what I did, but at some point I realized one of the easiest way to do it, and safest way to do it, there's two elements here, is real estate.
Okay.
So that brought me to learn a little more about real estate investing.
Okay.
And the different venues, the different ways of real estate investment.
Yes. So you were just traduce a little bit. So Zev nous explique qu'il a fait 20 ans de carrière à Hollywood en tant que métier de décorateur, notamment à la télé, peut-être au cinéma également. Et mais il a toujours eu en tête effectivement de pouvoir arrêter de travailler pour accéder à un genre de liberté. La meilleure façon pour lui, la plus sécuritaire, c'était de passer par l'investissement immobilier. So, how did you discover real estate? You bring information, you meet people?
Yes, well, it's a combination, because okay. I lived in California, Hollywood in California.
Okay.
And California is a very, very challenging, very difficult. Is very, very challenging and very difficult real estate market. It's
okay.
Very, very speculative. And speculative meaning that the prices can go very, very high and also can go down and high and down. There's a lot of element of speculation in the price of the house. And you need a lot of, and plus, another thing is, rental business in California is absolutely not good.
Okay.
The percentage of money you can make if you rent your property out is absolutely worse. Well, absolutely horrible.
Okay.
So I met some friends that in the film business that were looking for the same idea of investment. They all work in the film business, and we ended up with listening to a guy named Adi Gorel.
Okay.
Adi Gorel is a professional real estate investor, and his company, International Capital Group, they help people do exactly what we did, and they explain, and they have a very, very strong and very tested investing philosophy. Adi wrote a book about this. I know you asked me about books. Adi does lecture about it and so forth, and I can explain in a minute. I will explain how he makes his money. Of course, he's not doing it for free.
So you learn about Adi Gorel, you
from
follow
friends.
His courses?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not, yes, I did a seminar, but also on top of, in his seminar, he explained his philosophy of investing, safe investing, or I would say it's different. His investment is very safe investment in real estate. There's many different ways of investing, many different ways of making money in real estate. His is, I would say, one of the safest possible. Yes, the chances of making a lot of money fast is low. That's not his goal. His goal is to make steady money in a safe way in the long run.
Okay.
So once you, I mean, over the years, listen to him, listen to many other people. The first thing I would recommend anybody that wants to invest in real estate is to decide what is their goal. What do they want? What are they? Do they want to make money fast? Fine. Do they want to make money, speculate on a lot and maybe make a lot of money? Great. Do they want to invest work and manage it themselves? Great. Or do they want to be someone like me, which is called a turnkey operation that they give it to you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about
it.
And of course, yes, you will make less money doing it. So, like anything else in investing, the more risk you take, the more chance you have of making a lot of money, but the higher the risk you take. So it's a decision one has to make from the beginning before one goes to real estate investment. What is the goal of their investment?
Yeah, sure. So Zev nous explique qu'il s'est formé finalement à l'immobilier. Il a suivi les cours d'Adi Gorel, qui est un mentor en fait au niveau de l'immobilier aux États-Unis. Il a suivi ses séminaires et sa première leçon a été de trouver son but en fait dans l'immobilier. Est-ce que c'est faire du cash flow immédiatement ou faire un investissement sécuritaire sur le long terme? Et lui, ce qu'il a privilégié, c'est effectivement un investissement type patrimonial pour pouvoir être avoir l'esprit tranquille et voyager finalement sans aucune contrainte. Et donc
I didn't know, by the way, so I have to ask you. Do you want me to answer shorter questions so you have time to respond to translate?
Oh, it's okay, no problem.
Because okay, I can do that.
Good memory.
I can ask you. Okay, perfect. Go ahead.
So you follow this course at the Goral seminar. Uh-huh. You learn, uh-huh. And so can you tell us about your first real estate investments? Uh-huh. How did you find the city? How did you find the house or the flat?
So again, I followed Adi's at the time. I completely decided to follow his recommendation.
Okay.
And his recommendation come with a package of his research. And what I mean by research, Adi has many years of experience. Like, I'm not saying he's the only one, of course not, but he has a lot of experience in the real estate business. He bought at some point 1,200 homes. And I'm not joking, 1,200 homes.
1,000.
Yeah, 1,200 homes. Not in one day. But
In one life.
No, he bought more in one life. In about 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
Seriously. You're talking about, I mean, but for groups of buyers.
Okay.
And his philosophy is that if someone like me, that is in a completely different business, don't want to change the business, love what they're doing, want to continue what they're doing.
Okay.
Someone like me need help, and the help is this. First is research what city to buy.
Yeah, sure.
It's very important. His recommendation at the time for a long run investment was Phoenix. And okay. There's a few others, but Phoenix was a big one for him. It was Austin in Texas and so forth. There's a few others, but his recommendation of Phoenix, his recommendation of middle class, but nice middle class, not upper middle class,
okay.
not lower income people, and definitely not higher class.
Okay.
His recommendation was always a school system in a very good school district with a very good work for working class. He wants people because he believes a family with children are moving less.
Okay.
That's part of his philosophy, his numbers.
Okay.
So his recommendation was Phoenix. What he did is, when he goes to an area like Phoenix, what he does is, he finds a broker, real estate broker, to work with.
Okay.
And he says to the broker, you know what? I'm going to send you 30, 40 people that will buy maybe 2, 3, 4 houses each.
Okay.
You will sell through me easily 100 to 200 homes. Of course, the broker is going to treat everyone beautifully.
Okay.
So when you come from Adi Group, you're treated like you're one of a big investor,
even though
you're buying one or two homes, but you're represented by a big group of people.
Okay.
So the broker knows that he has to do everything perfect with you because he can lose 200 customers or 300 customers buying homes. That's a lot of money.
That's a very good strategy.
Part of Adi's strategy. Number two in Adi's strategy, the same thing about a mortgage company, because mortgage company, the same thing. They can get 200 homes. They can sell 300 homes through Adi. They love Adi.
Okay, mortgage is meaning
the finance. Hypothec?
Bank.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so there's bank or mortgage, and of course the managing company, which I learned over the years. I've been doing this now for more than 25 years. No, 22 years. 22 okay. years. And I would recommend to anybody that buys real estate in investment, the number one most important thing is a good managing company.
Okay.
They're the one who talk to the clients. They're the one who represent you. They're the one who solve the problem when there's a problem and the water is not running, or there's a, you know, the air conditioner is not working or something. So finding a good managing company is a key element.
Okay. So, what year was your first?
99. Now I remember. 1999. So it's 19 years? No, it's 20 years now.
Yes.
But I bought something
almost.
Before. No, let's say in this system, I started in 99. Yes.
Okay.
20 years ago.
Zev nous explique qu'après avoir suivi le cours d'Adi Gorel, qui préconisait d'investir à Phoenix, qui présentait des bons avantages en termes d'investissement avec des bonnes rentabilités. Trois conseils étaient sortis de ça. Finalement, c'était se regrouper via les élèves de ce mentorat pour faire un poids par rapport à l'agence immobilière. Deuxième, donc ça c'était pour avoir des prix, des bonnes affaires en fait par rapport à son agence en fait. Deuxième chose, c'était trouver la bonne agence bancaire pour avoir des bonnes conditions de prêt. Et la troisième chose, c'était trouver la bonne agence immobilière de gestion, parce que lui, son idée c'était d'avoir quelque chose de clé en main sans aucune gestion entièrement déléguée quoi. So what you did?
What I did? I flew to Phoenix from Los Angeles. The broker met me and took me to different subdivisions. Subdivision is when a builder builds maybe 50 homes together. You know, in the United States, it's very popular.
Yeah, sure.
They don't. Okay, first we are talking about single family homes, not apartments. It's very important in this case. Yeah. Adi recommends single family homes. He also recommends apartments, but apartments in the United States are more difficult to sell later.
Okay.
So you can, it's possible, some people do that, it's possible to make money with that. I stayed with single family home, I prefer.
That's very popular in the United States. That's a kind of a model?
Yes, it's a model.
Social model.
Usually they have maybe in the same subdivision, they have maybe 5 or 6 different styles or 10 different styles.
Nice.
So it all look not exactly the same, but it's built by the same builder.
Okay.
Big advantage for us as a client is that Adi can go to the builder and says, you know what, I'm bringing you 100 clients, 100, yeah, sure. You can say 100 homes. I want you to give a better price. So two things happen.
Okay.
First, the builder give Adi a cut on the side, and they pay Adi for his services. So us as a client, we don't pay Adi anything.
Okay.
He gets his money from the builder. And us as a client, instead of getting discount, usually what we get is maybe $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 worth of improvements on the house.
Okay.
Because they say, wow, if you buy 50 homes, of course I will give you this discount.
Better house.
So you get a better house. So for me, it was a very easy way of dealing with this. Instead of a lone single negotiation against the company, I have Adi negotiating in a group.
Yeah, yes, sure.
So basically, I am buying for myself. It's my house. And if there's no renter, I'm the one who has to pay every month. But I'm buying as part of a group, and that's an advantage.
Yeah, sure. I understand.
Same with the managing company later. It's an advantage that you come part of a group. That was part of what I did at the beginning, and I'm very... I strongly recommend that system for someone who starts with this.
That's a very good idea.
Thank you.
Maybe it's possible to find this kind of process in France, New Caledonia. That's a good idea to prospect, to join to groups.
Yes.
And to have a big
it's a group power. It's
exactly.
The group power.
Face
I'm
to,
sure you can make it work in New Caledonia. I'm sure you can make it in apartments or in homes. I'm sure you can use that.
Yeah,
it's very strong because the key later, as I said again, is the managing company. And if you can come as a group and say, "Hey, we want to pay maybe 1% less every month, and we want us to treat us as a group." So, yes, it's a big advantage.
Tu nous expliques du coup que tu as finalement investi cette première maison à Phoenix.
Trois
d'un coup. Oui. Okay. Et du coup, tu as comment dire donc, ce qui est préconisé ton cours, c'était de viser plutôt des classes moyennes, des quartiers avec des maisons à vocation des classes moyennes, plutôt haute classe moyenne, pour éviter les bas revenus finalement.
Oui.
Peut-être ce côté sécurité pour les loyers, moins de rotation aussi. Et côté famille, effectivement, pour plus de stabilité
Donc ça, c'est des stratégies vraiment qu'on retrouve aussi partout dans le monde, je dirais, hein, même en France, tu peux aussi avoir ce type de stratégie. Et donc ça, c'est intéressant. So, the question I wanted to ask to you is, was you affected by stress or fear during your first real estate investments?
For sure, yes.
Three at a time?
Can yes. Yes, but the three... Okay. I did not put all the money down. I took a loan. I took a mortgage. On these houses. So, because I separate my money on three, now I'm actually... If you have one home and your tenant is not paying, you lost the tenant, you lost the renter.
Yeah, sure.
Suddenly, you have one house and every month you have to pay the bank and the house is empty. But if you have three homes, at least if one is empty, the other two are not empty. So it helps your feeling. So if you can start with two or three, it's better if you have the money. And it's a, for me, it was a, yes, I was afraid at the beginning. I was afraid to take three loans.
Yeah.
I took loans at the time of with 20% down payment.
Okay.
You understand? I mean, in the United States, first I want to correct something. You said to me that I'm as a foreigner, but I have to say I'm an American citizen too.
Okay.
So it's different. Second, if you go to the bank, you can get a loan for a house. At the time, in 1999, was very easy. Very easy. 10% down.
Okay.
And they give you the rest of the bank, give you the money. Okay. Now, I didn't want to put 10% down. I put 20% down.
Okay.
And because I didn't want to, I wanted to have more of mine than this. And I got a loan for 30 years.
Okay.
So, every month, the it wasn't too much for me.
On
the 30%.
So how do you say in English? Le loyer, that's the rent, mm-hmm. cover the bank, the mortgage.
But there's more. You have to understand. There's first, there's the mortgage, the money you pay into the bank.
All charge around.
There's the tax on the house.
Tax, yes.
There's insurance on the house. There's also the community. You pay money for me. It's like it's like the concierge.
Yes,
they
charge
there's charge on this exactly. So all of this, you have to consider too. In American law, when you buy a house for rental, you can deduct as if after 28 and a half years. I don't know why they chose 28 and a half, but it's the law. You can deduct the whole house as if it's worth less and less and less.
Okay.
So there's amortization because the house has been used.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Rental, Okay. This is a tax benefit, was a big tax benefit for me. So even if I don't make a lot of money on the rent, still I get the tax benefit.
And this will hold your tax.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Very,
it's a good, it's a big, important part in the United States.
Yes. That's a normal way to invest in the United States, not special.
In the United States. But if you sell the house, then... Let's say you bought the house for $100,000. Then after 5 or 6 years, 10 years, you deducted it now for $80,000.
Okay.
The value now is $80,000 because $20,000 you're already deducted.
Okay.
If you sell the house now for $120,000, for example, you have to pay income tax on the difference between $80,000 and $120,000 because suddenly you make $40,000.
Okay.
So there's more complications to this. But if you take the money and invest in another house, you don't have to. So there's a lot of tax laws that you need to consult a specialist. And I don't want to get into the details.
So. Yes. Okay. I think it's very similar to the French systems.
Okay.
In a some specific strategy.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Okay. You understand some of it. This is, I'm glad. This is, but there's always opposed to. I have another friend. I didn't tell you before.
Yeah.
Orange Baboon and Joe Crump. I'll give you the link.
Yeah.
He's a friend that specializes in the United States in investing in real estate with no money.
Okay.
He's got a lot of tricks, a lot of ways to invest without money.
Okay.
You have to go to his books and his knowledge to this. I don't work in the system. I'm not saying it's not good. It's possible to.
Okay.
But there's many different ways of doing it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for this sharing.
So. It's for me, the key important thing, the most important thing was long-term stability and tranquility.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to worry every night. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to deal with it. I want to sleep quietly.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to make less money in a long, but sleep
okay.
Well.
Okay. Very, very interesting. So Zev nous explique, il a finalement acheté trois maisons pour son premier investissement. Et donc aux États-Unis, la banque, dans les années 1999, hein, à l'époque où il a investi, prêtait assez facilement, demandait seulement 10% d'apport. Et finalement, toi, tu as apporté 20%, ce qui était plus confortable aussi pour toi au niveau des traites bancaires. Et il arriverait à couvrir tout son investissement grâce au loyer et ne pas payer d'impôts, parce que le système fiscal aux États-Unis apparemment prévoit la déduction de l'amortissement dans la fiscalité. Chose qu'on retrouve également en France sur le régime des locations meublées non professionnelles. Donc ça, c'est vraiment, vraiment intéressant. Effectivement, il a géré l'appréhension, je pense. And he speak about your fear at the beginning, and maybe it's slow down and come to it's disappear with maybe the first months after, because you are watching it's working. It's everything working.
It's working. It's working very well. In fact, now I bought at the end 10 homes. Now okay. I have 7, but I end up buying 10. I changed some. I tried older homes too. The first one I bought were brand new homes.
Okay.
From a builder. I also tried used older homes and it's working too. I tried a few things. I really believe in Adi's system after all those years. I really believe that it's working if you want less headache. If you can live, look, if you're looking for investors from another country, your phone calls, your flight there to check, everything else is so expensive.
Yeah.
You need to be able to trust someone to manage it for you well. If you live in the city and you do it in your own city, it's different. You can go yourself, you can rent a house yourself. By the way, Adi insists that you do never manage your own homes alone.
Yeah.
He says two things. First, you get more emotional when it's your home and you have problem with your tenants. And emotion is not good for this.
Yeah.
Number two, you have a profession. Whatever your profession is, you like your profession. You're good at your profession. Let somebody else do this profession in a best way. And after 20 years of doing it and after having 10 homes, you know, that's hundreds of tenants that live in my houses. I absolutely agree with him.
Passer par une agence immobilière lui permettait d'avoir l'esprit libre, l'esprit tranquille. Et surtout, d'après le cours qu'il avait suivi avec Adi Gorel, ça lui... grosso modo, il expliquait que effectivement les agents immobiliers aux États-Unis étaient vraiment des professionnels et qu'ils pouvaient faire ça beaucoup mieux que si on faisait ça tout seul, en fait, au niveau de la gestion locative. D'autant plus que quand on est tout seul, on avait ce côté émotionnel avec le locataire qui pouvait parfois causer des problèmes. Can you
tell us about house price in 1999?
Yes.
In Phoenix. How it grow? It's growing during the next decades.
Okay, this is okay. I bought 3 homes in Phoenix. The average price of them was around $120,000 per home.
Okay,
but I didn't tell you. 2 of them were on a golf course in a community with a golf course.
Okay.
In fact, the back of the 2 houses right next to each other. The back of the house was right on the golf course.
Oh, great.
Beautiful. 4-bedroom, 2-car garage, 3-bathroom, each house.
Okay.
Very big homes.
Okay, okay.
I need to see in square meters, but it was like 16 and 1800 square foot. It's very big homes.
Okay.
For $120,000, great price. New homes with air conditioner, with everything in the kitchen. Great homes. Not furniture, but beautiful homes. At the time, 120 was a great price.
Yeah, sure.
The 99 until 2006, I think, was a big crash in the United States.
It seems to be, yes.
I think it was 2006. In 2006, those two of those three homes were worth almost $320,000 each.
Okay. Just before?
Just before. So my money...
Three
times the investment. Not the investment, but because I'm using the money of the bank. It's not three times an investment.
Yeah, sure.
I invest only about $25,000 in each home.
Yeah.
And sadly, I'm making... So it's a lot of money profit.
Yeah.
Not what I thought will happen. But here comes 2006, and that was a very big lesson for every investment in real estate. United States banks are absolutely legal thieves. I have no other words. They did something criminal with the knowledge of the government, with the knowledge of the politician. It's criminal what they did. It's criminal how they allow the market to balloon like this.
Yeah.
It was an inflated balloon that everybody knew it's going to crash.
Okay.
And there was no way to... There's no checks and balances. Nobody stopped it. Wells Fargo, I don't want to know, other banks were absolutely criminals with the way they allowed people to take loans that they couldn't pay for, and they knew it.
Okay.
And soon enough, there was a big crash.
Okay.
With the grace of God, we think my three houses crashed from about 300,000 each,
yeah, sure,
back to 120 each.
Okay.
So even if they fell so much in value, they fell to the same level I bought them.
Okay.
Okay. At that point, I said, okay, I will not sell them. I will keep them.
You will keep it.
Suddenly, you have a free house. It's yours, fully yours. All those years, you benefit from the taxes, and it's fully yours, and it's paying you every month income for whatever you need. If you have seven homes, suddenly you have a very nice income with a very easy start.
So you speak about if you keep this house,
keep it
long-term in real estate investments,
mm-hmm,
it's really your house, and it can you can use it for your when you stop to
working,
yes.
And which, for me, I stopped working at 48. At the age of 48, I said that's enough for me.
Okay. So your
that's a different story.
Mortgage loans was finished?
No, I still have mortgages.
Okay.
But, okay, it depends. It depends if you have a positive cash flow or a negative cash flow. Meaning, the rent, it costs you, the mortgage costs you, the insurance costs you, the managing company costs you, the tax on the house cost you, and so forth, and you get rent.
Okay.
My calculation always is that 10% of the time, the house is not rented. So you have to calculate in the long run.
Yes.
10% of the time, the house is not rented. Why? Because even if it's rented all year, and you lose the talent until it's cleaning the house, fixing everything, getting a new person, sometimes a month, sometimes 2 months, whatever it is. If you calculate that 10% of the time it's not rented and you're okay with that, you will feel comfortable with the results.
Yeah, sure.
It may be better, but it's not going to be a lot worse.
Okay.
So, sorry, go ahead. If you have questions.
Yeah, I understand. Very interesting. This long-term strategy.
It's a long-term strategy.
And but I'm very happy to meet someone like you who crossed the 2006 crash in Phoenix, because Zev, lui, avait acheté ses trois maisons à Phoenix à peu près à $100,000 chacune. Et juste avant le crack de 2006, la crise des subprimes, elle valait $300,000
l'une. Per house.
Per house, yes, chacune. Donc lui, sa stratégie, c'était vraiment de garder... Donc il n'a pas revendu avant le crack, bien qu'il y avait cette plus-value latente. Et 20 ans plus après le crack, elle recote, après donc un nouveau cycle de hausse, $200,000 chacune, ce qui n'est pas aussi important, mais qui est quand même... Donc finalement, la stratégie long terme a payé, et c'est ça qu'il a maintenu, et c'est ça finalement qui lui permet aujourd'hui d'en tirer des revenus. Donc,
The good news is that during the crash, 2008, 2 years after the crash, I bought two more homes in Phoenix.
Okay.
cheap homes.
Yeah.
I paid $45,000 for each home.
Okay.
I sold them 5 years later for $90,000 each.
Okay.
So in 5 years, I doubled my money.
Yeah, sure. That's okay.
This is speculation.
Yeah, yes,
I did
yes.
this too. It's possible.
But that's good. So after you understand, you can make money.
You can make money too and speculate. There's people like my friend Joe Crump that I mentioned that are buying foreclosure houses. Houses that the bank takes away because the customer cannot pay.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of money to do that in that. But it takes attention, it takes effort, it takes knowledge. It's very possible to make a lot of money on that. It's not my business. My business now, I 2004, I decided I want to go travel.
Okay.
I stopped working because I decided to, and I decided to go traveling. And that's what I want to do now. So for me, my priority now is not making money, but is keeping what I have and living off this. This is my priority.
Okay.
That's what I said for the beginning today. Everybody has to decide what are their goal in investing. Are they investing to make more money fast? Are they investing to make more money slow? Are they investing in safety? It's different.
It was enough for you.
Yes.
To travel.
Yes.
And just to use this money to enjoy your time and.
Yes, but for me it was enough. I want to live with less. Less things. That's my lifestyle. I'm not saying that every investment should follow that, but I see. I believe that living as a very very rich person is not about how much money you have in the bank. It's your attitude to it, your life. Mm-hmm. Can you wake up whenever you want in the morning? That's for me is a big luxury. To sleep in a very expensive hotel for me it's not important.
Okay.
I'm not saying. I'll give you a very good example on this. After I stopped, in 2004, I stopped working. I started traveling with a backpack. In fact, I had a house in Hollywood and I sold it and invested the money in more houses.
Okay.
But at that time, when I sold my house, I looked in the closet. I had 250 T-shirts. Not shirts, just T-shirt 250. I said to myself, wow, why I need 250 T-shirts? After this, I put 4 T-shirts in my backpack.
Okay.
And I think the next year I had only 4 T-shirts, and it was absolutely perfect for me.
Okay.
4 T-shirts. So it's a lesson. It's changed my philosophy about this. Now, I traveled 1.5 years, all over Asia, all the way to Mongolia, in the Sahara Desert. I travel a lot. After 1.5 years, I came back to Hollywood for some business, whatever, and I met a good friend of mine. It was a very successful restaurateur.
Okay.
And this guy asked me, wow, where were you 1.5 years? I said, I was traveling with a backpack 1.5 years around the world. He said to me, 1.5 years? First question was, how much money did you spend? As opposed to what did you learn? How did you expand? Whatever. For him, the most important thing is how much money did I spend? For me, it's my spiritual growth, my personal growth, my interest, the people I met is a lot more important, but that's his question. So I answered. Yeah. I said, I actually spend. I think at the time was about $16,000, which is about $1,000 every month, average.
Okay.
My friend looked at me and said, this is amazing, because he's telling his story. His wife left him 2 years before, something like this, 1 year before, divorced. He was very upset with his divorce.
Okay.
He went around the world for 3 weeks, and he spent $16,000. So he spent in 3 weeks what I spent in 1.5 years.
Okay.
Yes, he stayed in first-class hotels. He drank champagne. He ate in an expensive restaurant,
yeah,
which
sure.
I didn't. Fine. I'm not saying which one is right.
Hey.
But it's a choice. Do you want to take your $16,000 and live 1.5 years around the world, or do you want to spend it in 3 weeks? And let's face it, my memories, my experience of 1.5 years is a lot better than the caviar he ate and shit the next day.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. No, don't worry. No matter if you win a lot of money. It just depends of how you want to use it.
That's a different story. This is absolutely. I have to say that. I mean, this is an important philosophy. I'm not saying to anybody that my way is the right way. it is the is the right way for me.
Yeah, sure.
But I also I want to point to your listener. I want to point to people that I show what I do is that always you can work harder and make more money. You can change what you want to do with this money, or you can find a way to live with the money you have. All three possibilities are good. I'm not saying which one is good for you, but I want you to be totally aware of the choices you make. That's all it is.
Et c'est, donc, ce que disait Zeb, c'est que la liberté financière peut très bien être acquise avec finalement relativement peu de biens en investissement. Si la priorité, effectivement, c'est pas forcément d'aller dans des hôtels première classe, manger dans des restaurants avec le champagne et tout ça, c'est de vivre tout simplement, au rythme de la nature et sans dépenser tout ce qu'on a. Et après, effectivement, tout dépend de ce qu'on aspire dans la vie. Lui, c'était vraiment le voyage, la découverte du monde, une quête spirituelle, le partage de la connaissance, de la rencontre des gens. Et donc c'est ce qu'il fait depuis maintenant plus de 15 ans. Hein. Et donc c'est vraiment intéressant de voir, malgré le petit package que tu avais accumulé, tu as vendu ta maison à Hollywood en fait.
Ah, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. I left my home in Hollywood.
Okay.
I sold it.
You sold it. Tu l'as vendu.
To work in Hollywood two times for small commercials, okay. I don't want to do it. It's not what I feel like doing.
Et donc ce que tu disais, c'est que tu as dépensé $60,000 in one
year. 16.
And
16. 1-6.
1-6, 16.
About $1,000 every month.
Yes. Yeah. Donc il a dépensé $16,000 en un an et demi, alors que son ami en trois mois de voyage avait dépensé la même somme.
C'est pas possible en France, mais c'est possible en Inde, en Thaïlande.
Bien sûr, les pays où
Vietnam,
la vie est moins chère.
Au Cambodge, China, au Mongolia, au many countries.
Ouais, c'est les pays que tu as visités donc à l'époque, et tu as vécu plusieurs mois dans chaque pays.
It's also a big decision. Are you willing to live in cheaper countries?
Yeah, sure.
If you make money in France, but you live in India or in Thailand, it's amazing. And you go to France twice a year and you're very happy. Maybe it's not for you, but some people, I know a lot of people that's what they do.
That's an idea I have as well.
You can live in India right now beautifully, including everything, for one person, €700 a month, really good with everything, okay, including medical. Okay.
Et oui, comme dit Zev, on peut vivre aujourd'hui avec 700 euros très très confortablement en Inde. Et effectivement, si on a des revenus, quels qu'ils soient en France, effectivement, ça peut être très très suffisant pour vivre en Asie. Quoi.
But it also, it's the calmness. You know, when I left Hollywood. I had once a week, I had a maid cleaning my house and doing my laundry, okay?
Yeah.
When I started traveling with my four t-shirts, I decided I will wash by hand the four t-shirts, okay? I don't know how many years I never washed by hand, but now I wash my laundry by hand. Two things happen. A, you save money, even if it's third world country is cheap, but B, it makes you more humble. It makes you more respectful for the money you spend.
Sure.
And it's a beautiful feeling. It's a beautiful feeling that you have complete freedom about this. You know, you don't have to go to a job you don't want. You don't have to listen to a boss that treats you like shit or as an idiot because he's the boss. You don't have to be nice to people you don't want to be nice to. If you, of course, you should be nice to everybody you can, but you don't have to, and that's a great freedom. I love that.
Yeah, you go through another way of life with
absolutely.
A lot of simplicity.
Yes.
And kind of spirituality through natures and
it's a mix.
I would make
my friend. It's a mix. You know,
harmony, un peu avec harmony avec ton environnement.
The guy I told you, Joe Crump, my good friend Joe Crump, that is a big investor in real estate, very big, very rich man. He came to India 2 months ago to meet me, and we went on a motorcycle ride.
Okay.
Joe told me he's married and he's got two children in the United States.
Okay.
His medical insurance every month is $2,400 a month.
Oh.
Now, French people don't understand this. The most the United States is absolutely one of the most stupid, and I say it as an American citizen, most stupid Western health, country for the health system. So Joe has to work and pay every month $2,400
just for the insurance.
For the family of four, and still that insurance is, he has deductible of $20,000 a year. So if he does have something big and go to hospital, the first $20,000 he has to pay still.
I think it's madness
to work so much to pay for insurance. Basically, what is insurance? Insurance is fear.
Maybe it's better don't pay insurance and just pay when you are healed.
Exactly. And live a healthier life. You don't need the doctor so much.
Yes,
and I tell you
exactly.
something. I don't know how many of you know, if you listen and know, but you go to a doctor in India, and there's good doctors in India. Hmm. It's a third world country. There's good doctors there. Or you go to a doctor in Thailand, and Thailand is not it's a first world country.
Yes, sure.
Great hospitals, great doctors. You go to a doctor in Thailand, you pay $20 for a visit.
Yeah.
You go to the United States, before you shake your hand of the doctor, you have $500 less in your pocket. Okay, it's your choice. You want to live with that fear all the time that you'll be afraid to be sick, afraid to be this, afraid to be that. That affects your life.
Exactly.
So, basically, I'm trying to explain here that there's a possibility. Yes, you can make money from real estate, but yes, you can also teach yourself to live smarter with the money you have.
Yeah, sure. That's great lessons for me and for the auditors to know about that, to know, to meet someone.
You're not obliged to buy a thing. I think I told you about Hollywood. I worked on more than 450 television commercials in my career. People buy things that they don't need now.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not against consumerism. Yes, I have a smartphone. Yes, I have a laptop. I like my laptop. But, no, I will not buy a new laptop just because a new one came out.
Yeah.
I just bought a new laptop now. My other one lasted 8.5 years of traveling. I travel with it. It really, really worked everywhere, on a horse and on a camelback, in my little backpack that there was this computer. And I took care of it for 8.5 years. Now, when you see someone new, just because some company pushes it down your throat, you don't have to buy it.
Yeah, sure.
When you have a 16-inch TV, if you need a TV at all, and someone come up with a 17-inch TV, no, you don't have to run and buy the new TV because everybody tells you to. No.
That's very interesting.
Think about it. You'll be the one working harder just to pay that new TV, so...
That's stupid.
It's a choice.
Oui, ça c'est effectivement un petit zoom sur la société de consommation qui nous pousse finalement au niveau du marketing à acheter de nouveaux objets à chaque fois. Et Steve nous dit effectivement que pas obligé d'acheter à chaque fois les nouveautés, la nouvelle télé qui sort, et que lui il a vraiment choisi justement ce côté investissement, dégager de l'argent pour lui permettre de vivre simplement, et rien qu'en se dégageant du système de la consommation, il peut faire beaucoup beaucoup d'économies et justement pas gaspiller son épargne bêtement, puisqu'on n'est pas obligé de travailler sans cesse pour s'acheter des choses inutiles finalement. Et donc tu nous disais aussi, comparaison avec le système américain de santé, ton ami Joe Crum, avec sa famille donc de 4 personnes, et ils doivent payer chaque mois aux États-Unis $2,000
pour,
2400 dollars pour l'assurance, juste l'assurance santé. C'est énorme en fait.
C'est énorme.
Et en plus, il doit rajouter s'il doit aller à l'hôpital.
Ouais.
Effectivement, la question se pose, puisque en Asie aujourd'hui, vous pouvez aller voir le docteur pour $30 maximum, mm-hmm. avoir des hôpitaux avec les mêmes genres de services pour peut-être 10 fois moins cher. Quoi. Et effectivement, voir cette réflexion de où est-ce que vous voulez habiter, où est-ce que vous voulez travailler toute votre vie, essayer de trouver une stratégie qui vous permette de combiner les deux.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ziv, can I ask you, if I am a foreigner,
yes.
Me, a French people,
mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to invest in the United States, in Phoenix, for example, today,
okay.
I'm not telling you if it's interesting today, but if I want,
yes.
just to diversify my strategy,
I think it's smart.
Choose other country, despite of some crisis risks,
crisis is less now. I think the crisis risk is less.
Okay.
They fix some of the stuff. There's still always a risk, I don't know. I don't know enough to tell you. There's a lot of international money in the United States because there is some stability in that.
Yeah, sure.
And you need to consult someone like that, meaning tax law, down, how much money you need down payment, how easy it is to get a loan from a bank.
Yeah, sure.
Without being an American citizen, yes, it's possible.
So it's possible for me to subscribe to a Digorel service.
Or to another service. Okay. I mean, I use this one, but I'm sure he's not the only one. I'm not saying that he's the only one. No. There's many.
Yeah, sure.
I like him. But you can also, you know, yes, and there's a lot of international investors that do that.
That's your advice. Need to be not to do it on your own because
I would,
foreigner. You need somebody to help you.
Absolutely, yes.
Bridge maybe the.
Let me ask you this: if
administrative
you have
things.
Yes, because if you have a little problem, if you have a little problem with a managing company, or if you have a little problem with a builder, they finish building a brand new property, a brand new apartment or house or whatever, but there's a problem in the plumbing, whatever it is. Do you know how to get a lawyer and try to argue with them? Do you know how to do this? I would recommend having someone like Adi as a backup. If there's a problem, they'll negotiate for you.
Okay.
And it's really important because you don't want to leave your job. You don't want to go to the United States, sit in a hotel while you're trying to solve the problem. It's not cost effective. It's not. And also, you need to go to one of those. I recommend going to one of those companies because as a group, you have more power. Homes. The banks suddenly have a lot of homes and they bought a group. I know a guy that bought 10 homes on paper. 10 single family homes he bought on paper for maybe $25,000 each home.
Okay.
He put $250,000, $250,000, and he bought 10 homes.
Okay.
On paper. When he went to see the homes, two of them were burned down completely. There was a lot with like half burned house.
And burned like fire?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, two of them. He went back to the bank and said, look, what is this? It's burned. Yeah, well, you didn't look. You didn't do it. We looked in the paper. We didn't know it's burning. We took the houses from we didn't even know. So, do you want to go to this risk? I don't.
Yeah, sure. Because he didn't own.
He didn't, because he bought it by himself, and he didn't really research everything. He thought, wow, 10 homes, each one for 250,000. These homes are maybe 100,000 each. I can make $1 million here.
Yeah.
Two of the homes were nothing.
And no insurance for it.
Nothing. They didn't burn down now. They burned down before he bought them.
Okay.
So he couldn't insure it.
Okay.
So.
When you buy a house, mm-hmm. for example, in France, mm-hmm. You want to buy a flat, a house, you need to go to the notaire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of a law person.
Yeah.
And
I know,
you write the first papers as compromise. That's mm-hmm.
You'll buy it.
Yes, this kind of first administrative paper, mm-hmm. and at the end, maybe 2 or 3 months later, you sign for the definite final mm-hmm. paper, and you become proprietor.
Well, in the United States, what's common, the common way is that. You need a broker. You need a real estate broker. And the real estate broker, they know all the rules and all that. Okay. So you don't negotiate directly with the client, with the seller.
Okay.
The broker seller. Usually there's two brokers, one for the seller and one for the buyer.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the same person.
Okay.
Sometimes it's two. It's not for sure. Okay. When you agree on the price, the broker's job is to make sure there's a contract allowing you, for example, to check the house if there's any problems.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Then, when after you check the house, you do inspection, and after everybody is happy with this, everybody does that. They open its escrow company. Escrow company is a company that makes sure that the money transfer is correct.
Okay.
So you put your money in the escrow company.
Okay.
The escrow company check if the buyer really owns the house. Maybe it's not his house.
Okay.
Or maybe he owns money to somebody and they can put a lien against the house. But it's called an escrow company.
Escrow company.
Very simple.
And the first man, that's a broker, that's kind of an intermediary. Exactly.
Exactly. It is intermediary.
What's yes. name in French? Maybe avocat.
No, he's not a lawyer.
Not a lawyer.
No, in United
Just
States,
for finance.
It's only job of a broker is real estate broker.
Okay.
Is to they know all the rules about real estate. They only do real estate. That's it. All their job is to know all the real estate laws, because also every state has a different laws in the United States.
All right.
It's one of the reasons that it's good for you to learn from someone like Adi or company, because in California, there's a lot of laws protecting the tenant. So even if the tenant is absolutely unfair, not paying in time, breaking your house, whatever it is, even the tenant is horrible.
Like in France.
Okay. It's so difficult to throw them out.
Okay.
Which is, now you said to yourself, why would I want to take this chance? You know, someone, if someone is really horrible, taking advantage of my money,
sure.
I'll give it. Happened to me in Phoenix, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite.
The
laws are very strong, protecting both the tenant is okay and the owner. I had a case of a new house. New family came in. 1 month they stayed. Everything was good. After 1 month, they didn't want to pay me. They said, oh, we don't have money right now. Maybe we'll pay you next month. Maybe whatever it is. I'm like, hey, you know, I need the money. I really need it. So we took them to court. In 2 weeks, they were out. They're thrown out.
Okay.
And I don't want to do that. I really believe in being a fair and respectable landlord and to give good service. But I also want to get paid for
it. Yeah, sure.
I'm not a social service.
Exactly.
And if you have one or two homes, it's very important. You're not social services.
Yeah.
So Phoenix, Nevada and Arizona are very good for that. California is horrible for that.
Okay.
You need to know all those things before you invest in the United States.
Yeah, sure. That's a good advice. And so je demandais à Zev si on pouvait acheter aux États-Unis en tant qu'étranger, par exemple en Arizona, à Phoenix. Et le process, c'est simplement, en fait, il faut vraiment contacter quelqu'un qui gère ça sur place, parce que tout seul, on prend beaucoup de risques, on peut vraiment se faire avoir en tant qu'étranger. Et comme il l'a fait avec le groupe d'Adi Gorel, par exemple, qui lui a fourni un broker, une personne intermédiaire, en fait, qui va vous représenter pour l'opération d'investissement.
I want to say one more thing, please. You can buy a house for $100,000. Or you can buy two houses and put $50,000 and $50,000.
Sure.
And the rest from the bank.
Yeah.
As a foreigner, I think you can do 50% is no problem to get loan.
Okay.
But
that was the question I had.
Ah, yeah, okay. So this is very important. You can do also. You can do for $100,000 three homes, $30,000, $30,000, $30,000, and get $70,000
yeah, sure.
mortgage. Okay, this is a very strong decision. Why?
Sure.
Because you all your money, all your eggs are not in one basket. Number two, if you are able to get $70,000 from the bank, $70,000, now you have three properties, total $300,000. For example.
Yeah.
If the house market in 2 years is going up 10% only on $300,000, you made $30,000. It's 30% of your $100,000 investment.
Yeah.
So you're playing with the bank money too. Yes, it costs you interest on the loans and all that.
Yeah, sure.
But you're gambling not only on your money, you're gambling also on the bank's money.
Yeah.
It's a very good way of leveraging your investment.
Yes, leveraging, yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
You will not be able to do 90% to 10%, but 60, 40, yes, I think you, as a foreigner you can.
Yeah.
Putting $40,000 down and getting 60% loan.
So you tell us... en fait, tu peux acheter aux États-Unis en tant qu'étranger, peut-être emprunter avec seulement 30% d'apport. Et apparemment, ça passe aux États-Unis, donc ce qui te permet en tant qu'étranger. And what is the rate? How do you say the
percentage now?
Percentage,
I don't know now. It's changing all the time, but it's also different for investment and also different for foreigner, because you're not American.
Okay.
So I don't know, but maybe now maybe you can get 3 to 4%.
3 to 4%, it's not so high.
No, it's not so high. Yeah. It's not high. Maybe better, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know because I'm an I didn't do it for a long time, get new loans.
Yeah, sure.
I also have one of my two of my homes I paid full, so I don't have.
Les taux d'emprunt aux États-Unis pour les étrangers, ça peut varier en fait. Si vous investissez dans l'immobilier ou ailleurs, et grosso modo, on pouvait peut-être s'en sortir entre 3 et 4% aux États-Unis.
But I'm sure also that all your listeners, there's so much information on the internet.
Sure, yes.
And so many
easy
people.
To find now, sure, you have to analyze it.
You have to analyze it. You have to think because some will tell you that you can make 16-17% on return every year on your investment. I think it's impossible.
Nice.
I think it's impossible.
With real estate, it's a difficult place.
I think it's absolutely impossible. Yeah. I think if you make about 6.5 to 8.5%, it's solid, it's real.
Real.
And
yes.
You can look in the long run. Yeah, of course you can make 16% profit 1 year and you'll feel good. But in the long run, it's better to think 6 to 8%, yeah. And if you're happy with this, maybe you'll build better.
Yeah, completely. Donc avant ça, Zev nous disait que dans la Californie avait des lois en place qui favorisaient plutôt les locataires. Tenant rules from California. C'était compliqué en tant que propriétaire s'il y avait des impayés de loyer, etc. On pouvait vite être dans le rouge. Tandis que dans les États comme l'Arizona et le Nevada, les lois étaient plus en faveur des propriétaires. Il avait eu le cas, lui, dans une de ses maisons à Phoenix, où les gens arrêtaient de payer le loyer au bout d'un mois et 15 jours plus tard, avec la procédure, ils étaient dehors, il avait de nouveaux locataires. Mm-hmm. Donc ça, c'est vraiment sécuritaire.
Légal,
complètement légal.
Not,
ouais.
Not mafia.
Exact. No. Ouais.
Very interesting.
I will give you also my friend Joe Crompola, because he is an amazing lecturer on real estate online, free.
Yeah, I had a look already.
Oh, Joe?
Yes.
Or Adi?
His boss.
Both? Oh, I told you about Joe. Oh,
yes.
Good. Joe is something. It's different.
Adi Gorel and Joe Crump, and go to the website,
oh,
have a look, and YouTube channel.
Yeah,
easy to understand.
Yes.
And understand
And both of them are very, very sincere and serious business people.
Okay.
I mean, very smart business people.
Subscribe immediately.
Okay, good. No.
for the channel, and very interesting to learn about in the United States.
I'm sure there's more.
Sure.
I don't know.
But it's good to know about it because when you don't know anybody, you don't know.
No. You're right.
People is okay or not.
No, you don't know.
Yes.
You need to go in groups and whatever.
Yeah, sure. We speak about rentability in France.
Yeah.
It's between 6 to 8%. It's very good in United States and very good as well for France investors, basically. Higher level, it's more risk. And it's...
Okay, what I wanted to say is that it depends on, again, the speculation factor, and I'll explain that. What is to build a house, when it's a 100 square meter house, I don't know, okay? In Arizona, or in Texas, or in California, is about the same, because the cost of labor is the same, the material is the same, the plumbing is the same,
yeah, sure,
foundation is the same. To build a 100 square meter house here is about the same.
Yeah.
What is the big difference? To say, wow, I'm in California near the beach. Wow, I have a view. Wow, I have...
Yeah, sure.
Okay, these are the speculation.
Okay.
Now, the same house, 100 square foot home in California, is maybe $700,000. Same house in Phoenix is $200,000. Why is it so much difference? Because people believe the speculation in California is that the land will go more up. So the speculation part is $500,000. In Phoenix, the speculation part is maybe $100,000.
Yes.
But the land... land is important. So, if you're going to a place like California or New York,
yeah,
you know the price go up and down and up and down and up and down. If you're smart, if you're lucky, if everything you bought low, yes, you will make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But what if you bought high and it goes down? Suddenly all your investment is gone.
Yeah, sure.
This is a chance that investors should know and decide to make. It's okay. After the crash, it was very good to buy in California.
Yes.
I had a house in California. A friend of mine had a house, $1 million home. And they were selling it after the crash for $300,000.
Okay.
Now, if someone had $300,000 to buy it, and maybe in 10 years later, this house is again $1 million,
yeah,
they make a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If you buy for $1 million and you have to sell for $300,000,
that's a problem for you.
It's a very big problem in your life.
Ce que nous explique Zev, c'est que effectivement la rentabilité, lui ce qu'il visait, c'était plutôt la tranquillité avec de l'immobilier stable dans le temps. Et ce qu'il avait aujourd'hui, c'était plutôt autour de 8%. Effectivement, on pouvait avoir plus avec le côté du marché immobilier qui peut fluctuer, notamment Californie ou à New York. Et en achetant bas, effectivement, on pouvait s'attendre à une grosse plus-value à la revente qui aussi pouvait augmenter la rentabilité. Mais c'était aussi, comme nous explique Zev, à tes risques et périls, puisque si tu achètes donc l'exemple de la maison en Californie qui valait $1 million avant le crack de 2006, mm-hmm, qui n'en valait plus que $300,000 après, et ben effectivement le prix est plus divisé par 3, donc l'investissement dans ce cas-là effectivement est complètement détruit quasiment. Et donc effectivement à choisir en fonction du risque et de la stratégie qu'on emploie, c'est effectivement en fonction si vous êtes sur place, si vous déléguez ou pas, votre façon de voir aussi l'investissement qui va faire que vous pouvez utiliser telle ou telle stratégie.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm, how much is tax in Arizona?
Ah,
global tax. I know you mm-hmm, tell me
it's different.
You can cancel the tax, but if you're not canceling it,
no. Okay, there's two. There's a few taxes. There's city tax, there's state tax,
okay,
and there's national tax.
Okay,
so it's different from every state is different.
Okay.
Texas, for example, doesn't have income tax on the state, but because of that, they need more money. So property tax on the houses is in Los Angeles, in Phoenix even, it's not the same in one side or another side, how much you pay. So you really have to look at that specifically on where you're
okay,
going to
okay,
buy.
Okay.
I cannot give you a number like this.
Okay. In Arizona, I heard it's not so high. So high?
Yes, correct. But in Texas, it's very high. I have two houses in Texas. Now it's actually 4 houses in Texas at the moment.
Okay.
And it's very high tax. But also the rent is high. So it's...
So.
I don't know what to
maybe
tell you. You have to calculate that with a specific location.
Okay.
It's part of the cost.
So you tell us a little bit already, but what could you tell, mm-hmm, to auditors who want to build a real estate rent or heritage starting from zero, like young people want to begin?
Okay, I'll gladly tell you this.
In United States or in France?
You know what?
Yeah.
In the United States, it could be. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It could be in France. It could be anywhere. It's the state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need, every time to make a decision, do I need a new pickup truck? 4x4 pickup truck with big wheels. Do I need really this now? Or can I put €500 on the side for a house?
Okay.
And I'll tell you something. I remember a friend of mine. He bought his wife. He did his son. He's a Jewish guy. He did his son bar mitzvah, which is a big celebration for boys at the age of 13.
Okay.
This celebration invited a big party with all his friends, and it cost him $10,000.
Okay.
For one day celebration for his son. He loves his son. I said to him, forget this. Take the same $10,000, buy a house in Phoenix. at the time, 1999, I remember that. For $10,000, you buy a house in Phoenix. 10% down, you buy a house for $100,000, you put the $10,000 as a 10% down,
sure.
And you just let this house sit. Your son is 13 now. Only $10,000. So, you can decide today, I'm going to have a big party and spend $10,000 to show off to all my friends how I love my son. Mm. Or you can give this to your son, and maybe at 20, maybe at 25, the son has a house somewhere. So, this is what I want people to think. Do I need the new TV? Do I need big wheels on my Toyota pickup truck? Do I need a new windsurfer because my windsurfer is a year old and they make a new one that is looking a lot better?
Yeah, sure.
Or do I want to, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, to have freedom to do what I want? That's it.
Okay.
So the question is, you can start very small, but I really believe in starting young when it's small and always putting the money to the side to buy some real estate or investment like this. Always.
Okay.
You make 1,000 euro a month, put 50 euro on the side. You make 2,000, you put 100, 150 euro on the side. It's very easy to accumulate 10,000 euro, 15,000 euro,
yeah.
Invest in real estate. Let it grow.
That's so simple.
It's simple. It's absolutely simple. It's absolutely simple. It's very simple at this early age. It's less simple. And I'm saying the benefit is worth it.
Yeah.
The potential growth of safe investment is so... Is solid. Yes, you can invest in gold, in stock market, or whatever it is. I lost in stock market probably $60,000 over the years until I learned that it's really not for me. That I'm really it's not for me. I know some people made money. I lost money every time I invested in stock.
Okay.
So yes, if you're smart, you think you're not. If you're lucky, if you think you're smart, go for it.
Okay.
I lost money. Do you know someone who in the long run made money on their stock? I don't.
Okay.
Maybe one family member.
Le conseil, donc je lui demandais aujourd'hui qu'est-ce que tu conseillerais pour un jeune quelqu'un qui souhaite se lancer dans l'immobilier, faire ses achats en partant de zéro et créer un patrimoine et peut-être sa retraite pour vivre après de ça en partant de zéro. Donc ce qu'il nous conseille effectivement, c'est de commencer jeune, très jeune, dès les premiers salaires, à mettre une partie de côté au lieu de tout de suite effectivement acheter des biens de consommation qui peuvent être plutôt coûteux, comme je sais pas, peut-être un grand écran plat ou le dernier pick-up à la mode, tout type de bien en fait, et plutôt garder cet apport-là, comme il expliquait, donc dans son exemple, en plaçant 10 000 dollars ou 10 000 euros en apport dans une maison, au bout de 20 ans, ces 10 000 euros se transforment en 100 000 euros finalement, avec le levier bancaire, tout simplement, tandis que si on le dépense, bah, effectivement, il n'y a plus
Another
la possibilité.
Thing. Oh, sorry. But one more thing about new cars. This is a big thing in my philosophy. A new car, in the first 3 years, lose value the most. Okay? This is criminal. It's just criminal stupid. I'm saying it like this. I don't have any other way of saying it. You buy a new car, it's criminally stupid to spend the money for the first 3 years of the loss. Because if you buy a three-year-old car, in the next 3 years, it's not going to lose so much in value.
Yeah, sure.
But the first 3 years, it does. Now, you buy $30,000 car. In the first 3 years, you lost $8,000, $9,000. Are you willing to lose this? Or can you take the money and invest in something else? It's a choice. For what? So the car smells good for 1 week, and 1 week you drive around looking like you're so proud of yourself, you have a new car. That feeling is something that you have to think. Does it change my ego so much to have a brand new car? Am I really, really so much more special with the world? Or am I going to be more special when I have another house that pay me for doing nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my philosophy.
Oui, donc, petit aparté, nous explique effectivement, quand on achète une voiture neuve, elle va perdre beaucoup de sa valeur les trois premières années, ce qui est sinon pas très, très intéressant en termes d'investissement. Mieux vaut acheter une voiture... qu'il y a 3 ans, puisqu'elle va beaucoup moins décoter dans le temps. Et donc ça, c'est en termes de gestion de patrimoine, effectivement, acheter une voiture neuve, c'est pas bon du tout. Et effectivement, bah, si vous ne le saviez pas, maintenant vous le savez, il vaut mieux acheter une voiture récente d'occasion qu'une voiture neuve, effectivement, parce que dès lors qu'elle sort du concessionnaire, elle a déjà perdu peut-être 10 ou 20% de sa valeur.
There's more tips. There's more tips like this, but this is important philosophy in life. Do I want my money to work or do I want to work? Which one? It's very simple. Mm.
Exactly. And can you tell us maybe a proverb or a quote you like in life? Une citation en fait qui t'inspire.
That's a good question.
Not specially for business, maybe just in your life.
Just the first one that comes into my mind is Gandhi, quote, an eye for an eye, and everybody becomes blind, you know, because the Bible teaches an eye for an eye, meaning if you hurt me, I have to find revenge. If you take my eye out, I have to revenge and take your eye out.
Okay.
But in, at the end, everybody is blind.
Yeah, sure.
So that's one of my quotes. The first quote that came to my mind.
Okay,
that
interesting.
I really love.
Yes. La citation qui l'inspire vient de Gandhi. Effectivement, en traduisant ça, effectivement, si on répond à chaque fois par la vengeance, si on vole un œil, la vengeance fait qu'on va perdre le sien, et au final, tout le monde devient aveugle, ce qui n'est pas une solution en soi. Et d'où plus la pensée de la non-violence de Gandhi, la gratitude et le pardon. Comme philosophie de vie.
Exactly.
You like to do your hobbies, your passion,
my hobby, my biggest passion,
your occupation.
Retired. My occupation is traveler.
Traveler. What do you like?
I like to ride my motorcycle.
Okay.
I really like riding my motorcycle, especially
so
in
discover new countries.
And I like to travel with my wife. My future wife, but she's a painter, and my love. That's what we like to do. I've been traveling 15 years now. I don't have a home that I live in one place. I don't need it. I'm very happy doing what I do.
What's your next country?
We're going back to India.
Okay.
But this year we will go from India to maybe Thailand, and then Israel, and then France.
Okay.
And then back to India, I think. That's our plan right now.
Other country.
I'm happy with the American investment now. I never tried it. I mean, I never
not
heard
necessary
of,
for you. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, the moment. No, look, I like Thailand very much. Thailand is unstable in the sense of political revolution sometimes, and military coups. I don't want to worry about it. I don't want to deal with it.
Okay.
India. It's difficult for a foreigner to invest in India.
Okay.
It's possible, but it's difficult. I'm thinking about something. I actually look at this, but I didn't find anything.
Okay.
That is worth it for me. I'm thinking about investing in France. That I'll talk because my wife is French.
Yes, sure.
And I would like to have at least one house in France.
Okay.
Paying rent. No, I don't want to have an empty house to live in.
Thank you so much, Zev, for this interview.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Adi Gurel has an integrity that I've very, very rarely saw in business owners. I'll tell you one story. When I bought my first 3 houses, yes, I was afraid. Yes, I was worried. I was afraid. I bought 3 houses. After about 2 of them were on a golf course. I have shown you a beautiful home, big.
Yeah, sure.
And after a week, they called us back. They said, "We're going out." After 1 week, why? Because that there was no telephone lines.
Oh.
to the community. And I called the builder. I said, "How come there's no telephone line?" He said, "Oh, we built too fast, and the telephone company didn't finish in time. They promised, blah, 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 promise, blah, 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 promise." I'm like, "Hey, you're building 100 homes on a golf course. You don't think about these telephone lines? I mean, it's basic. It's not luxury, you know." "No, we will do it next month. I said, next month? I just lost my my tenant, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really... So I called Adi. I said, Adi, look, it's really not fair. I mean, he said to me, but Adi, it's not his fault because
he didn't
know about this, and it's really not... He is brokering. It's not his fault. Adi looked and says, you know what, Zev? Until you get the next tenant with a telephone line in the house, I will pay your mortgage.
Okay.
Every month.
Yeah, sure, but sure.
I will pay until you have it. I said, and no, it's not cool. It's not. I'm not asking you to. It's not your fault.
Adi tell you that?
Yes, okay. Adi told me that personally. I said, Adi, but it's not your fault. You're not the... It's the managing company. They built it. He said, no. I take responsibility because I want my client fully corrected.
Fair to you. Very, very fair.
Wow, wow, wow. I was like, thank you, thank you. For 2.5 months, he sent me the check every... Until the day that I got new tenant, 2.5 months, house was empty, he was paying the mortgage.
Incredible.
Incredible. I was like, wow, Adi, thank you very much. When you listen to Adi, his horrible joke, his no sense of humor, he's very strict, but so correct. And now I know him 20 years. And all my friends, I have many friends that bought with him. Everybody will tell you, is like this.
Okay.
And this for me is a big deal. Incredible. It's a big deal. Yes. It's a big deal.
2 months and a half.
He paid.
After they need... Yeah.
They did it in 1 month.
Okay.
But then it took me another month and a half until I got
sure.
new tenants.
Yeah, sure.
It was like this. But he paid.
Yeah.
It's serious.
Okay.
So he lost money on this house, but it's okay because he's got so many. But he's smart because I tell the story and I told the story to other people and I send him other people. If you buy from him now, I will not make
profit.
No, I don't care. I don't
but,
know. But I'm happy because I know he will be honest with you too. And,
yeah, sure.
And all my friends it, with. Yeah.
It's
a network.
A kind of trust.
It's a trust. It's
around
a trust.
Him. Yeah.
Voilà, j'espère que vous avez aimé cet épisode du podcast malgré les problèmes de son. Merci beaucoup Zev pour ton témoignage, ton retour d'expérience. En tout cas, c'était vraiment très très enrichissant et ça nous ouvre vraiment l'esprit, nous en tant qu'entrepreneurs, investisseurs, de voir un peu ce parcours d'investissement aux États-Unis et de voir que avec des investissements immobiliers dans un certain pays peut nous permettre de voyager, vraiment de vivre la vie de nos rêves. En tant que rentier en immobilier, ça c'était vraiment excellent. Avant de vous quitter, je voulais juste vous rappeler qu'il ne reste plus qu'un seul jour pour profiter de la super promo de Noël sur la formation division d'appartements, la formation qui a fait l'objet du précédent podcast. Donc si vous voulez avoir plus d'infos, je vous invite à écouter l'épisode précédent. Et je vous remets le lien d'accès à la formation avec toutes les infos détaillées dans les notes de cet épisode. Voilà, c'était Teddy pour le podcast Focus Immo Pacifique. Merci pour votre écoute et à très vite pour un nouvel épisode du podcast. Ciao !